Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Well, welcome back to the Worcester Nazarene podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew, here this week with Pastor Kyle Lortz. So glad to have him here. And we're just going to jump right in. Pastor Kyle, you've been around now for a couple months now around Worcester Naz. Mm-hmm. And I know Pastor Nathan had you up on stage and it was like a real quick intro. I know you've spent some time with some young adults during some midweek things, but we just wanted to take some time on the podcast this week to get to know you a little bit more, hear more of your story, kind of how you ended up at Worcester Naz and a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So we're just going to jump straight into that if you're good with that plan.
Sounds great.
I didn't send you any outline like we said a couple minutes ago. So we're going right off the shooting from the hip today. Mm-hmm. But I would love to hear just more about your life growing up. Like, where did you grow up? What was that like? What was your family life like? Some of those things.
Yeah. So I grew up in Sunbury. I have a twin sister. That is something that for many years I end up like all through college. Many of my friends did not know that I was a twin. And when my sister would come to visit, That was a big one. They were like, oh my gosh, you have a twin sister. So I have to make sure I get that one out there. I have a twin sister.
Sure,
we are not identical. There have been many people who have asked if we were identical. That's not how twins work. We are not identical.
Not all twins.
I have two loving parents. My dad grew up, he was a firefighter. My mom was a nurse. So very like civil servant household. My sister is studying to be a doctor over at the University of Toledo.
Okay.
She's in med school right now. I have two older half siblings. They have some amazing families of their own. We just spent Labor Day hanging out with their family. So that was fantastic. I have three nephews, two nieces, and they are a riot. They're fantastic. I grew up in like sort of a smaller town. It's kind of exploded recently.
Sunbury's by Columbus area,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Just on the north side of Columbus, close enough to basically anything that we would need. I was kind of spoiled. I grew up and we had this like huge mall right down the road, and I moved over to Indiana for school, and it was like, where do you guys go to shop? They were like, well, Target's like 45 minutes away and there's a mall like an hour away. And I was like, what? An hour away. I thought culture shock. It was a bit of a culture shock. I didn't grow up in a big city, but we were close enough to one that it changed me a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Grew up in the church. I would attend pretty regularly with my mom and my twin sister.
Was that like a Nazarene church or a different?
I grew up in a Presbyterian church.
Okay.
It was, I think now it's a, eco-Presbyterian. They went through some reforms around like 2012, not a typical Presbyterian church. They were known for sort of being like slightly charismatic, which if you know anything about the Presbyterian denomination, that is not typical. I
mean, that's the opposite end of the spectrum where I would probably have them.
We had some folks that would wave flags during worship. There was every once in a while, there was a guy with a horn. It was really only just for one worship song, but that typically gets people.
A classic shofar, never hurts anybody.
But it was... I loved growing up there. Yeah. That was the church that brought me to know Jesus. That was the church that I received my call to ministry in. And that was the church that formed me. Then I moved to around high school, moved to a Church of Christ church, more non-denom Church of Christ, not like No Drums Church of Christ.
Yeah.
Lived like a pretty ordinary church. That was where my friends were going. So that's how I got plugged in over there. I was sort of in and out of the youth group, not super involved. I can get to that a little bit later, but that was the church that I finally sort of got some experience, like serving in the church. What does it look like to do ministry? I got to spend a summer that and sort of like sitting under the leadership there and just sort of get to experience like, what is an average week look like for a pastor? What is the role of somebody who cares for somebody in ministry?
Yeah.
Then finally over at Indiana Wesleyan, Aubrey got me plugged into the Nazarene church over there, Marion First. That church, they're like family. They saw Aubrey and I get to grow up together. They saw us get to just experience college, get to grow and see like, what does it look like to serve and how do we live faithfully into the call that God has put on our heart? And they have just championed us all through that.
Yeah.
That is one that I'm so very grateful. And that's where I sort of got plugged into the entire world of Nazarene denomination. That was not something that I had experienced before. Our, like the churches that I grew up at, they were part of denominations, but they weren't super involved in like denominational events. So you think of like teen camp, preteen camp, all the kids camps from the entire district coming together. You think of Blast, over in Indiana, they called it Celebrate Life. Essentially just like all the district events that you get to see your church family from all over the state. That was something that was completely new to me. And that was just fantastic getting to get plugged into. After college, I spent a year over at Cypress Wesleyan down in Columbus. I did a student residency, so I got to experience what it's like to like lead a student ministry at a larger church. We had several campuses. I was over at our Marysville campus for the bulk of my residency, and I got to lead our student ministry alongside the campus pastor, Jacob Shockley. And I think in an environment that is sort of protected like that, it was a fantastic learning environment.
Yeah.
Jacob was my coach, and I had another coach early on in the residency, and they gave me the reins, but they allowed me to like fail safely. One of the pastors over there, he would always talk about like the residency program is something that you're able to experience the heat and some of like the fire of ministry without getting burnt. And I think it's an excellent sort of metaphor for what that residency program is like. So I can't say enough good things about that. And now I've come over to Worcester Naz. I've joined Aubrey over here, and it has just been such a warm welcome. I feel like one of the things that Worcester has done so well is they are a warm, welcoming community. There has never been a moment where I have felt like out of place or I have felt like some sort of outsider from the day I stepped in here.
Yeah.
It was a warm welcome. And I'm sure some of that helps having Aubrey here. She's been known across throughout the church for many, many years now, but it has been such a warm welcome. What? Can't say enough good things about the people here and about just like the ways that I've been received.
Yeah. And we're going to back up in a sec to go back in your story some, but that thing in particular, what you're describing, it's kind of that value of kindness that we talk about, like truth, mm-hmm. worship, prayer, kindness, generosity. Those are our five underlying values at Worcester Naz. And that kindness thing is what you're describing of just like never feeling a cold shoulder. Not that we're perfect, but like so many people describe that when they come through basics and we ask them to share their story. We just heard it again a couple weekends ago. Mm-hmm. Like, man, how did you end up at Worcester Naz? And like, why are you here? And person after person would say, you know, there was just somebody remembered my name, or it just felt so welcoming, or I was sitting in the grandstand and this weird guy was giving me a hug every week, which we know is Pastor Nathan. And they're like, but I understood he actually cared about me. And like that feeling of kindness, when you experience that, like it's real.
Yeah.
And it does something that it's like, this is a place where this can be family and this can be home. And that's really significant.
Mm-hmm. I think the level of hospitality, which that is something that the staff has been sort of really like leaning into, has just been exceptional. That is something that you don't see everywhere. Yeah. And that's something that I think Worcester does really well. And it's not by accident. That is something that takes a lot of intentionality, and it makes a difference.
A lot of effort goes into that for
absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely. So, well, let's go back in your story a little bit. You talked about your first growing up church. What was your saying yes to Jesus? Like, how did that happen for you? And then how did you grow out of that? Like, what did that change in your life?
I don't remember the exact day or hour, like what class I said yes to Jesus in initially. I know I was relatively young, probably like 8 or 9 years old. And I'm confident that I said yes to Jesus in a Sunday school class. And then I'm sure that I did it several more times because as an 8 or 9 year old, you're terrified of what hell might be like and you're doing everything you can to save yourself from like drowning in quicksand. Because honestly, growing up, I thought quicksand was going to be a really big deal. You watch all of the shows growing up. Everybody's running into quicksand. I'm yet to run into quicksand. It hasn't
That's
happened.
So funny.
But I said yes to Jesus.
The irrational fears of childhood, right? Mm-hmm.
I said yes to Jesus, said yes a few more times, and then started really sort of understanding like, okay, I don't have to keep accepting Jesus. This is something that he has done for me, and I don't have to I am I'm saved and now I get to live into what that means for my life. I don't think there was some drastic immediate change. I was baptized in that church a few years after saying yes to Jesus. And I think that was one of the first decisions that I made that really sort of started making faith my own. Mm. I got to sort of spend some time with our lead pastor at that church at a pretty young age. And that was one of the things that sort of just started forming me as a believer. Yeah. And it was a few years after that I realized that ministry might be something that I'm actually called to rather than just like something that's cool on Sundays.
Mm. So like when you started feeling that, cause I know for me, like part of my story is, you know, I grew up in the church. I was always here. I feel like I was born into the church. Mm-hmm. And, whenever for me in high school, it was like, okay, this isn't just mom and dad's faith. Like mm-hmm. this is my faith and this is my walk with the Lord. And then in that season, that's when I started feeling that pull and that call of like, man, maybe this is something the Lord is calling me to do with my whole life of being in ministry. Mm-hmm. So like once you started feeling that call and that pull, like what did that look like for you taking some of those next steps towards all the things that would lead to in the future of Indiana Wesleyan and internships, all those things, like what were those first steps that were like, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this step of obedience or you confirm this for me. Like, what did that look like for you?
I think I suppose I would say the thing that stuck out to me the most, like when I received that sort of initial call, it actually happened at a women's Bible study. I know it sounds a little weird. I'm not a woman, but
amen.
I attended a women's Bible study with my mom one night, and they were just sort of like stations. I loved being at the church.
Yeah.
They let me participate in like some of the stations. There was like a little worksheet. I honestly don't remember a ton from that night. What I do remember is at the end of that night, there was a prayer circle. Our lead pastor was there as well. He's also not a woman. I don't know why he was there either. It was a weird set of circumstances, but at the end of that night, there was a prayer circle, and they prayed over me, and several of the women sort of spoke over my life, like the Lord is going to work through me. Mm. And like in that moment, I was sort of overcome with like some emotion, and I knew like the Holy Spirit I had encountered the Holy Spirit that night. Yeah. And I knew that I wanted to help other people experience that same thing. That was probably the moment that like, I would say I knew that I wanted to pursue ministry. I didn't know what that looked like.
Sure.
I was 12 or 13 years old. Things were still a long way out. There were a lot of things that sort of like came up in between there. For a long time, I sort of ran from my calling.
Yeah. Same.
it was intimidating telling people like, oh, I want to be a pastor. That like speaking in front of people, reading, writing, all of that. Those aren't things that come naturally to me. Like math, science, objective answers. Those are things that feel really good to me.
That's why you get along so well with Pastor Joel.
Absolutely. Because that's him too. I wouldn't say like I'm super analytical, yeah. But I think having things that are black and white.
Yeah.
That is what comes naturally to me. So when that sort of like call towards ministry came upon my life, I knew like that's not just me. Like, honestly, this isn't something that I want to do. So
yeah.
I told people I wanted to pursue engineering. I spent some time sort of looking for that. And then there were a few experiences in like late middle school, early high school that had sort of reignited that spark for ministry. I was at a camp up in Holland, Michigan. It was CIY Move. And at that camp, there were just several things that week that sort of reignited that call. And at the end of the camp, they provided like a call, like if you feel called to pastoral, like vocational ministry, like come forward. And I think that was when sort of like a switch flipped.
Yeah.
I felt more confident to tell people that I wanted to pursue ministry. Growing up in a public school, like there were always comments from people like, oh, like, what are your intentions pursuing ministry? And like, there were aspects that I didn't want to tell people.
Yeah.
And like, there were aspects that like, it made it feel intimidating. It was easier to say, like, I wanted to be an engineer. Everybody wants to be an engineer. And
sure.
There are like, I think there are a lot of people with some that have seen the church witnessed poorly. And honestly, like that, part of that came from me. Like yeah. Throughout high school, I didn't witness Christ super well. We've been talking about like this is what the king looks like.
Mm, yeah.
I'd be wearing that shirt. This is not what the King looks like for a lot of my time in high school. I made some stupid decisions, and there's a lot of it that I would like. I've said like I didn't have that Christian community. I didn't seek out that Christian community.
Yeah.
I didn't seek out people who were going to hold me accountable and sort of be the stick. Yeah. When you think of the carrot or the stick, I sought pleasure. I sought all sorts of just like, I sought myself.
Yeah.
So going to IWU, that was one of the first times that I experienced like true accountability. And there were people, like there were some guys over there that were willing to hold me accountable to my actions and say like, Kyle, you are not witnessing Christ super well. You are not what the King looks like right now. And I think we need those people in our life. Yeah. Those are the people that like they make some of the biggest difference in our life. That was where the bulk of my spiritual formation has happened. And like discipleship has sort of really taken root in my life.
It's so good. Like your call is confirmed by others and then like cultivated by others around you too, like mm-hmm. that accountability and everything. It's so huge. I love that. Like the accountability piece is so important, and it's not just like the Lord is there the whole time. And I've talked about this in a different aspect in the podcast before, but it's never that the Lord is just like waiting to beat us down. He's just like, I just have something so much better for you. Like there's a reason that there's structure and accountability and like, this is the way of the Lord because it's so much better and he has so much blessing and so many good things for your future. Another thing that stuck out that you said too, is like those ladies praying over you and even speaking over your life a little bit, like that, something like that happened to me whenever I was a teenager in high school. I still have the note in my Bible. I could show it to you this afternoon. And it was somebody from our church that had been praying, and they just sent me this little note. They're like, I don't know if this means anything to you or whatever. And I read through this note, a couple of different things they had been praying for me, like a Thursday night, Wednesday night service. And one of the things they wrote down was like, I believe that the Lord is going to make you a pillar in the church. And this is when I'm like, high school, like sophomore, junior year of high school. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but like, looking back now, 25 years later, like I'm old, Kyle, you need to know that. I just turned 39. I'm so old. There's people that are rolling their eyes right now. But like looking back at that now, like saying like, man, look what the Lord has done. Like I had no idea what it meant then, but look at what the Lord is making that into now in the season of life that I'm in on staff here to almost 11 years, and how the Lord has blessed me to serve in leadership and all the things that I get to do here at Worcester Naz. Mm-hmm. Like he had a plan all the way along. And so like, yes, that call is scary and it's hard to say yes to, because I did the same thing. I turned tail. I was like, I'm going to be an English major. Like, I don't want any of this, Lord. Like, this mm-hmm. is scary. But the Lord is so good and so faithful, as long as we just keep saying yes all along the way. Like, his plans really are so much better than anything we could come up with on our own.
Absolutely. So. I think, what a blessing it is that like we can have people in our life who are like, they have eyes to see the work that God is willing to do in our life, and that God wants for our life. Yeah. And we have people who like they're willing to speak that upon us.
Yeah.
Because honestly, we need those people in our life.
For sure.
They're the ones that can sort of give us that next step.
Yeah.
Give us that lamp under our feet.
Yeah. More of a, this is an offshoot question, mm-hmm. but I'm just curious some more about you as Kyle. Do you have any hobbies or things that you like to do just outside of church or outside of ministry, things that you enjoy?
So throughout my life, I have my parents, Aubrey, everyone in my life would say that I am easily somebody who hyperfixates on things. I've had a lot of hobbies throughout my life. Right now, my current hobbies, I would say, are pickleball, guitar, and coffee. I love good coffee.
Amen.
Good coffee is the thing that it keeps me going in the morning and throughout the day. I ended up with an espresso maker off Facebook Marketplace, and it sent me down the worst rabbit hole ever. That same, my coach at the church I was at previously, he owns his own like coffee roasting.
Oh wow!
Like side gig with his wife. She's also a pastor at that church. Clergy Coffee. I don't know if we do shout outs on here.
Not a sponsor.
They're fantastic. They've got great beans. Check them out at the Marysville flea market. They got me down the rabbit hole of coffee. That has been a really fun one. That and pickleball has been an easy, like sort of like almost offshoot hobby. I grew up, I had a ping pong table growing up.
Yeah.
And it's pretty, I don't know, relatively similar, less, whole lot less running. I played lacrosse growing up. I played attack. I was not a midi. I was not running the whole field. That was just not me. So pickleball has been fantastic. I'm competitive. probably to a fault. And I love it. It's been great. It's awesome. Great little time for exercise. Get your body moving. Yeah. Definitely not as much running as tennis.
Yeah.
But it's a good time. And then I got into a little bit of guitar freshman year of college. And it's just been, it's a great outlet. Yeah. It is an opportunity to worship the Lord. I ended up getting on a summer ministry team. It was a worship team that one of our professors, he asked me, he heard I could play guitar. He was like, "Do you think you can play bass?" And I was like, "Oh, I have no idea if I can play bass." But it was a great opportunity. And now I play bass. Yeah, so
I'm also a fake bass player. So we can commiserate a little bit.
I would definitely say I'm a fake bass player. I'm a bit of an imposter. Root notes are my home.
Yeah. But amen. No, that's so good. I want to hit two more things before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. You and Pastor Aubrey have now been married almost 2 months, right?
It's we
almost
sure
been
have. 2 months. Experts.
And yeah, highly qualified in all things marriage. No, it's so good. We're so happy for you guys. It was kind of the expectation because we knew Kyle was coming. Just that you're here. We love that you're here, part of the Western Naz family and our team. But like anything that you would say, like, man, like marriage, like I thought it was going to be this and it's that. But like any your early impressions of like, man, marriage is the best thing ever. Like, anything that you want to mm-hmm. share about that.
So I feel like to start, 10 out of 10 would recommend getting married.
Yeah.
Especially for us, we were long distance for a while. And then I would say sort of medium distance for a while. And that medium distance, I think, was harder than any long distance because it stopped that like intentionality dating on a weekend.
Yeah.
Like when we were long distance, it was a really special thing when like I would come and see her or she would come over to Indiana Wesleyan and like we would see each other. And that was like a whole weekend affair. When we were that medium distance, we sort of lost some of that intentionality dating. And that was something that like going into marriage, we really wanted to sort of hold as like a sacred thing. Like we have to make time for each other.
Keep dating your spouse, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It can be so easy to just book our whole week and neglect having time for ourselves and for each other.
And I would say, especially in ministry, that can be very true.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have to take care of ourselves and we have to take care of our spouse. That's part of, I think one of the most beautiful things that I've seen throughout marriage has been just like the way that I am fulfilled loving Aubrey and the way that she has set aside herself and loved me so well. We are definitely not experts. I think easily one of the most surprising things, everyone is like, marriage is going to be this. Marriage is going to be like X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
You're going to see some of your partner's habits or like your spouse's like little quirks that you don't always see when you're not living together. I think easily one of the hardest transitions has been sleeping in a bed together. Nobody tells you that all night long you're going to bump into each other and you'll turn over and then you hear your spouse rolling over. Aubrey will like get up in the middle of the night and I'll wake up because of it.
Yeah.
Nobody warns you of that one. No. It has been quite the adjustment, but I think that marriage has just been, it's been such a gift and getting to see some of just like the, for the last like 5 or 6 years, I've gotten to deep dive into the Bible and see like all of the covenant theology in the Bible and what marriage means in the Bible, and getting to now participate in that has just been, it's been so fruitful, and getting to see just like God, this is a symbol of God's love.
Yeah.
And honestly, like how much greater will it be when we're in heaven? And I know it'll be exponentially greater, but what a gift it is to get to do life with somebody and get to love them and put them ahead of yourself.
Yeah. So good.
Definitely not experts, but
I know you were
getting there.
Sure. Yeah. I'm what, almost 16 years in and I'm not an expert in any regard. Mm-hmm. Last thing, just before we wrap up, you're here, part of our team. So glad that you're here. Even a part-time role, jumping in with young adults. And I just want to hear quickly your passion for young adults and even things to the future. Like, why are you passionate about helping walk with our young adults in the future here at Western?
Absolutely. So I feel like easily one of the most formational times happens in middle school, high school, and then into young adulthood. There for a long time, like youth and students have been a focus of the church. And that is a really good thing. That is something that should definitely like continue happening. We have to spiritually form our students. That's when the bulk of people still in the church into their like late adulthood.
Right.
That is when they come to know the Lord.
Yep.
I think in that transition to young adulthood, whether you are going to college, whether you're like going into a career field immediately out of high school, there is so much change. And along with that, a lot of people end up really lonely. They end up moving out of the house and they get to make some of those decisions for themselves. And for a lot of people, that's when church sort of loses its priority.
Yeah.
It like the Lord sort of becomes like a feature of convenience.
An option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think having an intentional young adult ministry is crucial to managing that transition well. It's crucial to just be seeing how adults get to participate in the church. I think the mix at Worcester Naz, we're not trying to be youth group 2.0. That's not something we're trying to replace. We are trying to make that transition a little easier out of Thrive. That's like, it can be a really big change to go from meeting with the same group of people every single week, jumping in small groups, getting to be vulnerable with people every single week from the time that you're in fifth, sixth grade to the time that you are graduating high school. That is a long time.
Right.
To have an immediate drop off, that can be a really life altering change.
Yeah.
So a couple of the tenets that we've been leaning into as the mix, we are seeking to belong. We want it to be a place of belonging. Mm. I'll paraphrase Pastor Aubrey. She's been saying, we don't care if like, oh, how does it go? I'm going to butcher it right now. Essentially saying that she doesn't care if you're welcome here. She wants you to be invited.
Yeah.
And something that we have stressed at the mix is like, we don't want anybody to show up that hasn't been personally invited because we want to be people who help other people belong. We want to create a space that people can know that they belong.
Right.
A lot of people, like before they will believe anything, they want to know that they belong somewhere. They want to know that they can trust the people there. I feel like a second tenet that we've been leaning into is we want to go deep. We want to be disciples. We want to eat meat. We don't want to stay with milk for the rest of our walk as Christians. We don't want to be surface like shallow, like Sunday morning Christians. We want to go deep. We want to be disciples. That comes through intentional study. It comes through discipline. It
and comes consistency
through,
together.
Absolutely. Yeah. It comes through accountability. It comes, I think all of those things that like we have gotten to experience because we've been in circles of like a good Christian community. We've been in, I know like it, a lot of that formation came from me at college. And that is something that like I want for every single person.
Yeah.
That's something that I think we need. We don't like, if we stop going deep, we lose what it means to be followers of Christ.
Yeah. That's so good. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Joel and his leadership over so many years with the mix. And we're excited for the new season that's on the horizon and is here now. And as we say often, even on this podcast, there's so much more to come.
Absolutely.
Here at Worcester Naz, but yes, it's specifically with the mix and young adults. And we're so excited, Kyle, that you are here, not just with Pastor Abba, but you are here as Pastor Kyle, as part of our team. Thanks for spending some time this afternoon, getting to share a little bit more about yourself. And people of Worcester Naz, as if you have not got to meet Pastor Kyle yet, please find him on a Sunday morning. He would love to meet you, connect with you, get to know your name. He's going to memorize all 1,400 of your names on a Sunday morning. But no, none of us can do that. But he would love to connect with you and get to know you more. Thank you, Kyle, for joining us on the podcast this week. Thank you, all of you, for tuning in. We love you so much, and we will see you real soon.
Thank you, guys.